This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Washington on this report card, Denton, had the highest marks you can have for ownership and head coach. You want to talk about just, you know, overall, a massive organizational change. Ownership, Washington was, you know, graded by the NFLPA and its players as an A. Now, there are a couple of A-plus ownership groups, Miami, Minnesota, and Atlanta being the top three. And then there are several A groups, but Washington was in that second tier of A groups. But I think it's the head coach thing where Dan Quinn was the number one head coach in their rankings among the players. He got an A+. There were other coaches that got an A+, but he got the most votes. He was number one on the list of head coaches, followed by actually Raheem Morris in Atlanta and then Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, Andy Reid, and Dan Campbell in Detroit. Those were the head coaches that were all listed as A+ head coaches. So good for them. You know, honestly, this matters. I don't know that this is me just thinking out loud in terms of, you know, the players saying these things. You would, well, how does that manifest itself? Well, in free agency, you know, in re-signing your own players. Do they want a better work atmosphere? You know, Washington was an absolute S show. It was an absolute undesirable place for much of the league for so many years. That, along with being a losing team, did not help them unless a player was desperate. Or, like in the example of a John Allen, they were from here. But in thinking about how these marks manifest themselves, when you have a winning team and a quarterback who's desirable to play with, I don't know that it's that much of an impact. The fact that they have a head coach and ownership that are as high level, that helps a lot too. But like if they were a 12-5 team and their head coach was a B and ownership was a C, but their quarterback was an A+, you'd still have Washington as an increased, you know, place of destination for people. So, yeah, it's good for them. What do you think about it?
I was thrilled just looking up and down this list. You know, I think Dan Quinn getting an A+, being number one overall, is fantastic. I think Josh Harris is a miracle worker. I mean, going from last place 2 years in a row to now being 11th and, like, working on some of those key things that we had, I think, universally discussed as a fan base, like the treatment of families being significantly better, you know, the food being significantly better. And I think those are two really, really important things. So I thought they did a hell of a job. And I mean, how about ownership being ranked 8th in the NFL? Because it's clearly a guy that cares and wants to build a winning football team rather than the other guy that wanted money in his pocket so he could run around and be a scoundrel.
Ownership was ranked 18th last year, and they were a B. The head coach last year, in 2023, Ron Rivera was a C, 31st in the league. And then you go back to the year before that, where they were ranked. Let's just see where ownership was with Snyder owning the team. Yeah, I think it was dead last.
It had to have been dead last, if not really close to dead last.
Yeah, actually, it doesn't look like it doesn't look like back then they actually ranked ownership and head coach. So that's a new category here in the last 2 years. But Washington was 32nd among 32 teams on the report cards here before this year. So good for them. Look, it's a commitment from the top. We understand that. When you have a commitment from the top, and by the way, you have normal people committed, then you can end up with these kinds of results. Yeah. I wanted to play something that I heard early this morning, Denton. You know, the big news really right now in the offseason, Myles Garrett's a story. The Indy Combine will start getting into the player testing as well, and we'll be able to talk about some of that. I know you want to talk about some of that here on the show. But the quarterback carousel is going to be a big part of this offseason conversation. Where do the quarterbacks land? You know, where do the quarterbacks that are getting drafted, like Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, get drafted? Where does Sam Darnold go? Where does Aaron Rodgers go? Where does Justin Fields go? Where does, you know, even a potential guy like Kirk Cousins end up? But the number one is, where does Matt Stafford go to? And we've learned a lot more about the Matt Stafford situation over the last week or so. You know, I had Diana Russini on the show on Friday, and, you know, she talked about the contentious dialogue between Matt Stafford and the Rams when they restructured his deal last summer, and that it wasn't the easiest thing to get across the finish line. Well, we've heard that now multiple times. But right now, the question is, will the Rams deal Matt Stafford, or will they keep him? This was Sean McVay yesterday weighing in on this.
You talk about the elephant in the room. These are the things that are really challenging, because there's no discrepancy on us wanting him to continue to lead the way and be our quarterback. The interesting and the challenging dilemma and dynamics within this are, hey, how do you continuously as a head coach look at the short term and the long term and be able to figure out what does that really look like? There's no dispute, and let's not get it twisted in regards to anybody wanting him to be our quarterback. Now, there's layers to it. And as you try to put together the puzzle for your football team, you have to be able to say, hey, how do we continuously build? How do we support him? How do we make sure that he's getting, you know, what is his worth relative to those things? And so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we had something in mind, he had something in mind, and nobody was right or wrong. And then ultimately you're saying, hey, there's a ton of interest because this guy's an incredible player. And you know, we've had conversations where he could probably play however much longer he wants, but it's been on a year to year in terms of our dialogue. You know, is that one? Is that two? Only he can answer that. But there does have to be an element of understanding, well, what does that future look like without this freaking G that's been our quarterback for the last 4 years? And and there's no right or wrong way to go about it. But I do think for us to be able to make the most educated decision in terms of, all right, you know, the cash budget that we operate on, the draft comp that you would get in return, you know, you just need to be able to have all the parameters to at least explore it. And I think the most important thing that's reported out there is, you know, when we had these conversations prior to the Super Bowl, I think the important thing was, let's be clear, open, and honest. And this isn't that we're trying to be able to figure out, you know, what is the next right move, but let's at least have all the parameters relative to you and Jimmy Sexton being able to talk to teams that have called on you. Don't want to have to do anything in secret. Want to make sure that we're all abreast of the situation, even though the first goal in mind is to have you come back here as the quarterback. But that's where we're really trying to measure all those things. He and I have had great dialogue throughout this process. I know where we wanted to be able to end up, but these decisions aren't made in a vacuum, and that's kind of the challenging part about it. But love this guy, and he's been incredible for us.
I love Sean McVay. How long was that? That was everybody 2 minutes, right?
That was 2 minutes, and I felt like I learned nothing in that 2 minutes.
I mean, that was like 2 minutes of word salad. Like, he went round and round. I mean, to try to come up with a takeaway other than, of course, there's a chance they're going to trade him. But, I mean, you don't learn anything. It's up to the two sides to figure out a number. You know, at the end of the day, we had something in mind. He had something in mind. There's no discrepancy on wanting him to continue to lead the way he's led as our quarterback. But the interesting and the challenging dilemma and the dynamics within this, I mean, there's just a lot going on there. I think that there's a chance that they feel like they would be selling at the right time. That's my new take on Matt Stafford. Hear me out. I think Matt Stafford's a great quarterback. I think there's no chance they get to within, you know, 20 yards, was it, on that final play from beating the Eagles in the snow at Lincoln Financial. And Matt Stafford was the key to that comeback. He was outstanding during that comeback. Matt Stafford, you know, they were injured early. He had some terrific football games. You know, down the stretch, their final three games, as they were trying to win out to win the division, you know, they had to win out to win the division to beat out Seattle. They both finished 10-7, right? Were they both 10-7? They didn't clinch before the final week of the season. I think they both finished 10-7, and the Rams had to win out to win the division. So when you looked at the games they played San Francisco, the Jets, and Arizona. I don't think I picked up on this before when we've had conversations. Now, I know that there were some weather issues in New York in the game that they played against the Jets in the Meadowlands on December 22nd. They beat the 49ers, not a very good team, 12-6. Stafford was 16-27 for 160 yards. He didn't turn the ball over. Against the Jets on the road, they won 19-9. He was 14-19 for 110 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. That game, if you recall, was very losable. I think the Jets were driving down 16-9 late, and they turned it over, and then they got a field goal to sort of extend the lead to 10. And then in the season finale, they played on that Saturday night. I actually had Arizona in that game, I remember, plus the points. They barely beat the Cardinals 13-9 in that game. He was 17-32 for 189 yards. He completed, in two of his last three games, he completed 59.3% and 53.1% of his passes. He wasn't very good in a win at New Orleans. He didn't play very well against the Eagles when they got blown out. That was in late November. Now, he was incredible in that 44-42 win over Buffalo. Incredible. And I thought he played great in the playoff win over Minnesota. But the truth is, that game was won as much by the Rams' defense and by Sam Darnold's complete, you know, meltdown as much as it was by Matt Stafford. But Stafford was really good early in that game. They came out, if my memory serves me correctly, they moved the ball right down the field twice and scored, to take a double-digit lead, and they never really looked back in that game. He was 19 of 27 for 209, two touchdowns. And the game was never in doubt, in part because Sam Darnold got sacked like 30 times in the game. It was like 10 times, wasn't it? I think Sam Darnold got sacked. Hold on. Nine times. He got sacked nine times for 82 yards. His average loss was just over 9 yards on nine sacks. That was honestly one of the worst football games I've seen a starting quarterback play in a long time. I think if they thought Matt Stafford was going to be Matt Stafford consistently, you can't ever say that a quarterback at 37 years old is still ascending. But if you think you're going to get the best of Matt Stafford here at the end of his career another year, I don't think there's any chance that this comes to where it's come to. You pay him. He's a G, as McVay said. You don't have a solution. Garoppolo's not even under contract. And by the way, remember Garoppolo, didn't he play in a game and play very well for them? Was that the last game of the year? Maybe the last game of the year for them. Didn't Garoppolo play in a game that Matt Stafford was out in and play really well this year? Or am I thinking about something else?
I'm looking up. He did play. I mean, he played okay. I wouldn't say that he played really well, but he played that final game of the season because the Rams had already clinched, and he had 334 yards and two touchdowns and a pick on 41 attempts. He was 27 to 41.
That's right. So the Arizona game was the next to last game of the season, so they clinched that game. That's what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, right, because they played Seattle, and Seattle had a chance, right? No, that game was a meaningless game. Obviously, it was meaningless.
Yeah, Garoppolo they had already clinched. Was meaningless.
But Garoppolo lit it up, didn't he? What did you just say he threw for?
He was 27 of 41, 334, two touchdowns and a pick.
Right.
They lost.
But remember, they were weren't they down in that game, and he led them back, and they took the lead late in the game? I remember saying Garoppolo played pretty well in that game. I'm not suggesting that they're going to go out and re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo to be the answer. I just wonder whether or not the only reason you would move on from Matt Stafford with a playoff team, a team that won a playoff game and was as close as anybody was to knocking off Philadelphia in this postseason. They were closer to knocking off Philadelphia than we were, okay? They had the ball down 28-22, and they were deep in Philadelphia territory in a driving snowstorm at the end of that game. The only way you don't figure it out with him, or that you're questioning whether or not you should figure it out with him, is that they believe they'd be selling at the right time. That they believe that it's about to change and he's about to decline. Other than that, I think it's moronic to not figure it out. You cannot win in this league without high-level quarterback play. I mean, you can't do what they did this year with the roster they have without high-level quarterback play. But his performances, other than in the postseason, towards the end of the regular season, were not great. I mean, is it possible that they're moving on from him, or they're willing to move on from him because they think they'd be selling at the right time? I think you have to think that way, or you wouldn't move on from him.
They just don't seem to have a plan. So, like, I get if that is what they're thinking, I understand that. That thought process makes sense, but you would at least think that you would have something waiting in the wings as some form of long-term plan or solution to that. Just selling at the right time, I don't know if is the greatest idea.
It's not about selling at it's selling at the right time from this perspective, though, Denton. It's that they believe they're getting over on the acquiring team. They believe that he's about to decline. They've seen something that says his best days are clearly behind him. We got every ounce of Matt Stafford at a high enough level to get us to a postseason and win a game, win a division, win a playoff game, and we don't see it moving forward. We think it's about to decline, and quickly. It happens to quarterbacks.
It definitely happens, but still, I mean, I would feel way more comfortable if I was them if I had something on the other side. Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to do it.
But that's my point, is the fact that they don't have an answer and you're willing to do this means they're willing to put up with an answer that none of us would say. Look, you know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. I think he'd be a perfect fit for McVay, and if he played like he was playing at the end of last year, that they'd still be a threat in the NFC West for sure. Taking the off-the-field stuff off the equation, I think McVay wouldn't allow. I think he'd have enough respect for McVay, maybe. Who knows? But I think that you only move on from Matt Stafford. The first thing you've got to answer is, do we have a solution that could give us at least what we just concluded with? You don't move on from him if you don't think that. You figure it out.
Does this almost feel a little Saquon Barkley-esque? Because, like, I get what you're saying. If they think it's going to be a massive drop-off, it makes total sense.
His last three regular season games were very average against not very good teams.
Yeah, but I'd feel way better about the postseason performance than I would regular season.
I know, but they didn't need him to do much against Minnesota.
No, but they needed him to do a lot against Philadelphia.
He didn't do it early in that game. He did it late, though.
He did, but he still did it.
Yep.
Whereas no one else really seemed to outside of, you know, Jaden for a very small, like, even Mahomes didn't have the kind of success
that's true.
That Stafford did. So my thinking is that this is almost like a Saquon situation where they still think he's feasible, if you will. They just don't want to pay him the number that he is going to command, and he's going to command a big-time number. So I almost wonder if it's more that than thinking he's going to take like a Peyton Manning-esque nosedive when Manning's neck stopped working.
Right. Well, you did have that. But didn't you? What, the Matt Stafford injuries have been elbow related, right? In recent years?
A couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that injury was 2022. When he played 9 games, he played 15 games in 23 and then 16 this year with that, the one being rest at the end of the season.
He also had a lower back issue this year. Get a lower back issue this year. This one to me is the biggest head scratcher. You let bygones be bygones if the last round of negotiations were contentious. After, you know, you look at the landscape and you're like, okay, but we have to have somebody. And Sean McVay did essentially say that in his 2-minute. You know,
you said word salad. It was like word vomit. He basically said, we want Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford wants to be here, but we also don't want Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford also does not want to be here, and we're kind of somewhere in the middle.
Right. That's exactly what it was. He said everything. I mean, there were many options to take out of that. All right. You wanted to get into a certain position in the combine, right?
Yeah, I was talking to some people yesterday. I heard something that really caught me off guard as it relates to the running backs in this year's draft.
Let's do that next.